National Party, in the form of its leader F.W. de Klerk, appeared before the Truth Commission in Cape Town in August 1996 and May 1997. De Klerk accepted responsibility for the wrongs in South Africa while he was president from 1989 to 1994. He admitted to authorizing certain operations against the liberation movements. But those operations, said de Klerk, never included official permission to torture and murder activists. He also conceded that many repressive measures had contributed to human rights abuses during the apartheid era. But the lasting image of de Klerk at the Truth Commission soured almost everyone's respect for the man who so boldly unbanned South Africa in 1990 and publicly apologized for his country's suffering. Darren Taylor, Anki Samuel, Kenneth Makatias, and Angie Kapilianis report.
There is that which is wrong with the National Party's past, and that which is right, says F.W. de Klerk. His responsibility is to admit to the wrong.
I should like to express my deepest sympathy with all those on all sides who suffered during the conflict. I and many other leading figures in our party have already publicly apologized for the pain and suffering caused by former policies of the National Party. I reiterate these apologies today.
But de Klerk can't provide specific information on high-profile murders like that of Eastern Cape activist Matthew Kuniwe in 1985.
If I, Mr. Chairman, or the previous government had known what had happened and who had committed this crime, the perpetrator or the perpetrators would have been arrested, tried, and if found guilty, sentenced. No stone was left unturned in efforts to ascertain the truth.
Why then were Matthew Kuniwe's murderers never brought to book? No president, no business manager, and even no archbishop, says de Klerk, can know everything under his management. If so, why did de Klerk sanction unconventional strategies to crush the perceived communist takeover of South Africa?
I want to make it clear from the outset that within my knowledge and experience, they never included the authorization of assassination, murder, torture, rape, assault, or the like. I have never been part of any decision taken by Cabinet, the State Security Council, or any committee authorizing or instructing the commission of such gross violations of human rights. Nor did I individually, directly, or indirectly ever suggest, order, or authorize any such action.
What de Klerk did authorize was Defence Force raids across South Africa's borders, including the Transkei homeland, where several children were killed as late as 1993.
Such authorization specifically excluded attacks on civilians and limited the use of violence to the minimum required under prevailing circumstances.
De Klerk also authorized so-called dirty trick campaigns against the liberation movements, such as illegal front organizations.
It has now become clear that certain elements misused state funds and were involved in unauthorized operations leading to abuses and violation of human rights.
De Klerk says bad judgment, overzealousness or negligence may have clouded perpetrators of abuses, but is adamant that the National Party will not abandon even the rogue elements of the apartheid security forces. They too must get amnesty, says de Klerk. While accepting overall responsibility for the conflict during his presidency, de Klerk says the former cabinet, State Security Council, individual ministers and security force commanders must account for specific incidents.
Only if those with first-hand knowledge of what happened come to the fore will you and we and the country be able to establish the truth about such incidents.
By the time F.W. de Klerk appears before the Truth Commission again in May 1997, the National Party is experiencing problems. Apartheid victims are still implicating his former ruling party in gross human rights abuses. And to add credence to their refrain, several apartheid foot soldiers are finally confessing to their crimes in public for amnesty.
The Truth Commission panel is new, So is the cross-examiner. Truth Commission Chairperson Desmond Tutu praises F.W. de Klerk for his contribution to peace in South Africa. He quotes from the Bible. He prays. He speaks in Afrikaans. He smiles. But across the table, de Klerk chooses to sit alone, with no predecessor, no cabinet minister, no security force general.
The National Party and I accept full responsibility for all our policies, decisions and actions. We stand by our security forces who implemented such policies and decisions and all reasonable interpretations thereof.
Truth Commission Investigative Director Glenn Huisen has been waiting for this moment. What exactly does reasonable interpretation mean? Does it mean, as quoted in State Security Council minutes, that a third force should be mobile with the capacity to eliminate terrorists by their own methods?
No reasonable person can possibly not foresee that a reasonable man would interpret such statements to mean you can kill, you can assassinate, you can bomb, you can annihilate. And I put that to you.
Why wasn't I given a copy of that document beforehand? Demands de Klerk. Those quotes about eliminate simply mean to neutralize politically, and the creation of a third force was merely a discussion.
Yes, in 1985 and 86, the government did consider the possibility of establishing a third force, but never in the sense that the ANC and the media have attached to the term. The proposal was that a third paramilitary force, separate from the SADF and SAP, should be created to deal specifically with unrest and counter-insurgency operations.
Huisen returns to his original question. Was it policy to kill political opponents, or were the murderers just a handful of bad apples?
I think it would have pleased everybody if I said it was our official policy, but I can't speak an untruth to satisfy the call for blood which there is. I can only speak the truth as I know it. And the truth is, I never participated in such a policy and I was never aware of such a policy.
Huisen turns to the amnesty applications of de Klerk's former police commissioner and former law and order minister. If all their untested evidence is to be believed, then even they were acting outside the law. By now the truth commissioners are sitting with their hands in their hair and wondering, what do we do with all these amnesty applications if it was never policy to murder activists? De Klerk's answer is simple.
The blame should rest where the aberration or where the crime originated.
The image of Archbishop Desmond Tutu sunken in his shoulders with a dazed look on his face won't go away. Tutu portrays the shock, sadness, anger and frustration of the audience at the National Party hearing. How can F.W. de Klerk make such an impassioned and handsome apology that apartheid was wrong, asks Tutu, and then negate that apology by going into a state of denial?
I feel sorry for him, but I mean, maybe he didn't know. He didn't know. I told him.
Tutu finds it difficult to accept that de Klerk didn't know, when he and so many others gave the government an avalanche of information on widespread abuses. How can de Klerk describe the actions of former security police as only aberrations when they were so uniform?
And I find it unacceptable. For someone to say the claims that people were being tortured, that those are claims which were being used as, it was really propaganda. Propaganda. I was working with people at the SACC who were in and out of jail. I sat there and I was close to tears.
Tutu remains devastated. His speech, pauses and choice of words speak volumes, but not as much as the anguished silence when he clenches his teeth to bite back his tears.